When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we get back to the episode, I do want to point out, because we were talking about Mystery County earlier, Rashawn is responsible for one of my favorite jokes in like any actual play podcast, which is Queen Latifah's school for gifted girls and regular boys.
It's the Queen Latifah school for gifted girls and average boys also.
And average boys also.
The school uniform is wearing a UNITY t-shirt and door knocker.
Oh my God.
I'd actually adhere to that school uniform. I didn't when I was in school.
And then after school's over, you can go over to the Whoopi Goldberg Dojo of Excellence and backflips also.
I believe we last left. There was a role that was about to be announced for an important dad handshake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back to Super Smash Parents.
Yes.
So to explain the combination of stats of the role, we're doing a rare combination stat role. So I'm rolling both my brawn and my leadership. So it is three red die and a black die representing Jonnet's actual dad's, Douglas's, strength versus my two yellow, two green. And I got two threats and two successes.
Okay, yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. Nathan, you can describe what the success of this dad handshake looks like. And then, Bees, I'll ask you, tell me what those threats look like.
So I think similar to all my knowledge of parenting is from having played Dream Daddies once and passively watched Dungeons and Daddies. And I think both of those are exemplary of what parenting actually is. And there seems to be like a...
I'm just fucking all these dads.
I mean,
these days. That's kind of how it works.
Nobody can stop me. No mortal can stop me. But, okay. There's like almost a psychic energy vibe reading energy of dads. It's usually in TV shows and films set for, oh, my child is going to be going to the prom with somebody and I'm doing a vibe check. But I think this is your boss. I'm going to vibe check your boss kind of thing. And initially there are zero vibes coming from Orimar. It's like, wait, are they like dead or something? And then just apotheosis like radiant energy just bursts from Orimar's form. Just a kind of like overwhelming sense of grandeur. And it's a lot, but while we're just having a very kind of like still normal handshake that everybody can see, it's maybe going on a little too long, but there is like some Death Note style heavy angelic chorus going on laid over the top of it where we're just having a very normal handshake.
All right, so pretty much once he says, I know who you are, he grabs Orimar's hand and, you know, just squeezes as much as he can, notices that it's not really doing anything, and kind of stares at Oromar for, you know, as the handshake is taking too long, he's almost unblinking, staring at Oromar, and realizes he's getting amped up. And like, if anybody's really paying attention to Douglas, they can see all of his muscles start to tense up because he's starting to get angrier.
Is Dad flexing?
I think Dad's flexing.
Is Dad, and then he a vein starts to protrude on the side of his head, and he like catches himself as he hears the whispers, and he's like, in his mind, he's just like, wait, now is not the time to do this. Now is not the time to do this. Today is for Johnny. And he like stops himself and blinks a couple times in succession, just to like shaking himself out of the stare that he was, like the death stare he was giving Oromar. And he just stops, and he pulls his hand back, and he's like, oh man, that's a tough grip you got there, Captain. Oh wow, very strong. Yeah, nice to meet you.
The captain winks, and it's a bit stuttery. Internally, that took like every little bit of like soul energy that Oromar had to push that level of kind of radiance out, and now he's overheated a little bit. He overclocked the body a bit too hard on doing that, and just kind of stiffly lets go, nods, and kind of very awkwardly shuffles back into the line of people to be introduced.
Yeah, as he does that, I don't know if Oromar catches it. He depending on how much he's paying attention, but Douglas does shoot him a quick look, and it's if looks could kill, kind of, you know, just that like side eye death stare, and then just goes back and is smiling to everyone, just for like a brief second.
I think the death stare was missed by Jonnet, but he did catch like the weird flexing of his dad, and then like, you know, the ever present stoicness of the captain, and he's just like, and that thing outside is Travis.
We see a big eye like kind of loom up to the window.
You rang.
Travis is actually not on the council, but honorable mention.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't know what my job is. I just hang around. Kind of a good time kind of fella to have around.
Yes, our resident good time guy, Travis Madigo.
So, Jonnet, he's going to lean close to Jonnet. What is wrong with your changeling friend?
So you know about that? Yeah.
Why I mean, is he I, like that?
I
Dad, you I, can't say that about changelings.
I'm just asking a question. Usually they, you know, any of that I've ever seen usually have hold of what they can do. What is he okay?
Yeah. Travis, fine. Like, he's got this. It's just like, he's kind of going through some new stuff. He just like, wait, I can't remember if Jonnet actually knows that Travis is the changeling.
It's come
I'm
up.
Trying to remember if in the hot tub scene.
Yeah. It was like first thing bragged about.
Yeah. So then it's like, well, I mean, he's kind of coming to more power, and it's just, he's working out what shape he wants to be in right now, because I guess he can do new things.
Johnny, with your permission, in the background, I think behind them, like this shot is framed with Jonnet sort of looking towards his dad, and over their shoulder, we can see the window outside where it's evening, but the sun hasn't really set yet. And we can see Travis sort of like sitting and looking at the window. And then we can see one of the griffin roosters sort of like edge into frame. And the roosters of this community are obviously like grown to griffin size to keep coyotes away. So you are just seen as a big threat. And Johnny, I would love to know what this interaction between Travis and this big rooster is like.
So I imagine the rooster comes to like size me up, and I just want to turn and be like, I'm not going to eat a chicken. I'm a guy. You know, I look like a coyote, but I'm a guy.
guys famous for not eating chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never had it.
I'm a fella.
I'm drawing a quick little loom right here to. Okay, we do have the river, so that does partially represent challenge. So I think the rooster like puffs up a little bit, like it's like gonna do something. Hmm? So what?
I really don't want to fight you. I truly don't want to fight you. I'm trying to eavesdrop on a conversation, and this is really getting in the way. Did you say it's about evening, James?
It's about evening. Yeah, like we're approaching.
I feel like I want it to get very close to the point where we are about to fight, and then I turn into a man, and I'm like, see? And I just shove him.
Yeah. I think then like we'll zoom away from Travis back to the conversation between Douglas and Jonnet. But in the background, we see this rooster like trying to puff up on you, like
just
like,
keep pawing him
at
away
you a little bit. Yeah, you're pawing. There's like a little bit of wrestling in the background. Like at one point, the rooster is like flying at you, like hitting you with the spurs. You're running one direction, then running the next direction. You know, you go into a door in the chicken coop and come out of a different chicken coop.
I come out carrying the rooster. I'm chasing the rooster. The rooster's chasing me.
The rooster runs by. Nothing's there. Then a person reading a newspaper lowers that newspaper, and that person is a big coyote with raven wings. And then this whole sequence goes by to the point where the rooster is like now kind of on top of you, about to destroy you, and like you start the change into a man. But yeah, we can move back to Jonnet and his conversation with Douglas.
He's special. He's different. He is the perfect addition to my crew for, oh geez, what was the name?
We don't have a name for this. Okay. We don't have a name. So we can come up in this moment. I've talked about this with Bees. I've talked about this with Rashawn. We got to name whatever this coming of age ceremony thing is. We got to put our heads together, come up with something that sounds fun.
This is maybe a hat on a hat, but the Sweet Six Turkey Trot.
Sweet Six
That's
turkey
three hats.
Trot.
That is. That's right. Four hats.
Waddle waddle.
Sweet Six Turkey Trot.
Oh, maybe it's something like. Like it's like a homonym, like it's like a look for the la, 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 la. We're all
oh yeah, it's just like an
year.
Onomatopoeia. Oh
excuse, yeah, that's what it. Yeah,
Gobble Nalia.
We did Nalia
we
already?
Did Nalia.
We did.
They're
we've
all
already
Nalia.
Done Nalia.
They're all Nalia.
I'm not saying no to Gobble. Gobble could be useful. Gobble could be good, but we can't do Nalia again.
Gobble
knocked.
Gobble knock.
Gobble knock.
Gobble knock.
Gobble knock.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm good with gobble knock.
This year I'm going to be great. My gobble knocked.
So then that means that the race takes place at night then? Because it would have to for the night.
So I think what you do when you go out to get your wild turkey, you go out at night with your group and go collect your turkey.
You have until sunrise?
Yeah, you have until sunrise to capture a turkey.
Oh,
I like that a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
And here, the other thing, I will throw down the rules for Gobble Knocked right now. So, Tyler, you know what is going to be expected of you in the next little bit. Mm-hmm. You are going to have to name of your crew that you need somebody from your hometown who is going to run with you and someone with your crew who is going to run with you. So after you have captured a turkey, you do the running of the turkeys where you have a partner in – you have partners in your run and you like run through the town being chased by these big birds that you caught. And on Gobble Knocked the night before, any number of people who are not from your town, you can invite with you, but like they can't be the same people as your run. So somewhere within with the Uhuru crew between Travis, Gable, and Orimar, somebody is going to be running with you during the run. And that person will also be joined by someone from your hometown. And then the night before, when you go out on your turkey hunt to capture the bird, you will have to choose between Travis, Orimar, and Gable. Which two of those are going to join you to grab the bird?
Oh, wow. Just saw Oktoberfest. Fuck off.
Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest.
Gobblenacht. Yeah, Gobblenacht precedes Oktoberfest.
It is absolutely monstrous how bird forward this podcast is.
So it's like, wow. I think that's part of the appeal.
At this point, this is the brand.
Yeah.
And this is.
Considering giant birds are a thing that basically everybody has, everybody's kind of going to be a fan of birds. Otherwise, it'd be a.
It's as if, like, in regular life, we centered our entire world around horses human life.
We have a good friend who does.
We do. Mm-hmm.
Because it means that there are a select number of people in setting who, rather than being fans of birds, are fans of leviathans, and they are de facto the villains of the narrative. So,
yes.
So are you the sea or are you the sky, you know?
Well, I mean, it's sort of like how horse girls, you know, represent sort of like lawful good. And I would say dolphin girls represent sort of chaotic evil within our narrative.
Is not something I ever considered. But looking back, you're like, it's chilling.
I wonder if that's a dangerous thing to include in the
dolphin
recording.
Girls.
Are you
going
to get acid for this on the other side?
I don't think so. I think if you go through the standard D&D alignment chart, you will find an animal obsession for young women group that goes to each alignment. Like, I think neutral evil is cat girls, like girls who are obsessed with cats.
Don't worry, dolphin girls' phone screens are too cracked to be able to find podcasts anyway.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
Wow. Monstrous.
Gosh, I'm trying to figure out what kind of girl I am. Damn.
To be fair, I think if you just do like the horse girl thing, the little like you do for that, but for everybody else, they should all be appeased.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Casey, can we get a quick sting of the dolphin girl alarm just so that that's in the show? Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so then they are my crew for Gobblenacht.
Pardon?
This is what I was kind of telling y'all about on the way here. It's the rite of passage. It's growing up in Acheron. It's a ceremony. It's a whole lot of fun and it's also kind of dangerous, but also what isn't?
I'd like to do a quick series of flashbacks. Between Orimar, Gable, and Travis, explain why each of you did not absorb the information that Donna tried to communicate to you about this. What went wrong in that interaction?
I think we've established that there's been a couple of like star watching mentoring sessions between Orimar and Jonnet, and I think during one of them, to make idle conversation while staring out at the night sky, Jonnet kind of launched into an explanation. Oh, and I'm super excited about taking you two, and got about maybe a little bit into that explanation, and then I think just out of frame, just this a dead hand just goes and kind of covers Jonnet's mouth and points back up at the sky again.
I think Jonnet tried to tell Gable after, this is extremely sad, that after Dref died, and as a way to like break tension in the room, when sometimes you just talk about something completely unrelated to the subject because everyone's grieving, and so Gable's just like, uh-huh, yeah, completely,
yeah.
In one ear and out the other.
I feel like in that moment, Jonnet, it's like he's not even thinking about the words he's saying. He's truly just trying to occupy space. He's like, hey, Gobblenacht, it's, wow, 5 months away from Gobblenacht. It's gotta get the crew together. Yeah.
We all have to do our Gobblenacht. Uh-huh.
Jonnet, I think in this moment, like, asks Gable to be part of his running crew. And, like, it's this tearful moment of relief for Jonnet, and Gable is just like, gotta do it. Hang in there, baby.
Whatever you need, I'm here for you. Whatever you need. Fantastic. Yes,
that means so much,
okay.
Gable.
I'm going to go to sleep in the middle of the day. And
okay.
I'm gonna.
I think
that.
He tells Travis at our Peora, before Travis, you know, Travis is like prepping for his part of the competition, and he's like, you know, this reminds me a lot of Gobblenox, kind of our own little bird competition we have back home. But
really,
Travis
really,
is
really.
Just like, as a bird, like, you know, flexing and like do, like looking, you know, get, like getting ready, looking at himself in the mirror like, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. I could probably win that too, just like I'm going to win this.
So you want to be a part of my crew?
If there's an opportunity to win something, Jonnet, I'll do it.
Yes, you won't regret this.
I've never regretted anything in my life.
And then we smash cut back to man Travis, who just like coughs up not only like a hairball, but then also a bird feather. So it's if you catch a griffin turkey, you're an adult. You're part of the crew. You can learn the special magic within Acheron. It's kind of a big deal, and it's supposed to be for your 16th birthday, he says, staring daggers at Zana.
She looks over her shoulder like, who the fuck are you looking at?
Unless there are individuals who show exceptional tenacity and are approved to partake earlier.
I'm sorry, but didn't we just do a bird competition?
It feels,
I mean, not just.
It feels very recent in my mind. In my brain, it's right here at the forefront.
Yeah, in the narrative, it was very recently.
It was very recently.
Like two things ago was a bird competition.
Yeah, but
so you're saying your crew isn't ready. You need more time. Well, it's very soon, and you don't have much more time to train. I'm ready.
Okay,
and
yeah.
She starts doing push-ups.
Big talk from someone who, I mean, this is my crew. This is my crew. Where's your team, Sonny?
Everyone, they're at the back door now, and you just hear that's not a terrible knocking sound, but a knock, knock, knock at the back door.
Oh, no, I don't have the box nearby. Let's see if this... Nope, that sucks. God damn it.
Find it. You have to find it.
Find your box.
A rap-a-pap-pap on the back of the door.
Oh, it's a very, like, flowery, elaborate knocking, is it?
All right. Hold on. Casey, we might still have the Foley for this. That was okay.
Your door is so soft. Beautiful, warm wood.
It's good wood.
And I open the back door. And in the back garden, kind of like lounging, sunning, is my beautiful team. There's Damphrony.
Hey.
There's Damphrony, Dyler, Dyson, and Diffany.
Hello, I'm Damphrony.
Damphrony. Hey,
I'm Dyler. What's up?
Damphrony.
Yeah. I'm ready.
And they're all wonderful and exciting.
Yeah.
Are we going to, like, win competitions or whatever?
I'm sorry to bother you all, but you look beautiful, glistening. I'll put some more oil out for all of you, but we're going to get started in a few hours. So be rest. When the sun goes down is when we're going to start looking for the turkey.
Cool. Fantastic. Yep.
No problem. Just here. God, let me know when you
all
name me.
So much. And they smell of jasmine. They smell incredible for pirates. They are... Oh, just the best.
May I continue to apply your oils?
Oh, please. It just started like a massage train of all of you just like making, and there's foam rollers and stuff. They're getting ready.
Yeah, that's the spot.
And then
this is my team, brother. Aren't they gorgeous?
And then we whip pan back around to like this dirty crew just flies hovering around Jonnet's head.
I think through the front door, a very disheveled Travis can knock through, who's just like finished his charade with the bird out back, like having transformed back into a man just as the sun has gone down.
Okay, great. You got a crew. You got it. Well, here's the thing.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I really needed you to say that to me out loud.
I'm just going to say this, Zana. Like, you can be in Gobblenacht, all right? I don't even care. It's no skin off my back, all right? I just think that when it comes down to who's going to bag the biggest griffin chicken, all right? It's like, okay, we'll see.
Turkey, son.
I also recall it was turkey. Gobble is implies. Damn it.
Then Xana pulls out a cake. Happy birthday!
You bake now.
This is your moment. Can you imagine? You know, like sending someone into town ahead of time to, you know, check off a couple things on the list. I asked them to get oil. I asked them to get a cake. It was delivered earlier. It happens when you're invested in the community. People remember me. You know the baker who lives up the street, Olivia?
Yeah.
She's got a great business, and I invested in her, in her business, and she makes cakes.
Yeah.
And you would love a slice of it.
Her daughter, Rachel, is actually getting really good at baking as well.
We have the gossip about Rachel.
Okay, well, I guess Jonnet goes, I guess, goes into the kitchen, grabs, like, a knife, and I guess starts to like carve it into his cake, and then takes out one single square of it, and just with a like just the most grumpy that he could, just like houses a bite. This is fantastic.
I'll tell Olivia that you liked it. Now, one thing I like to do on birthdays is ask some birthday questions. What's one thing that you've done in the last year that you're proud of? And what's something in the next year that you're looking forward to?
I already won a bird competition with my friends, and that was pretty cool. And I also fought the Mariner.
You did what?
Yeah.
Air horns.
Yeah, I've been sitting on that one for minutes. Okay.
I'm a punch Johnny in the head again. What the hell is wrong with you?
Why did you punch me?
I fought the Mariner.
He came at me and I fended him off with this. And then he pulls out this Kasarigama. This, okay?
Where did you get that?
Child is pulling out weapons.
Sometimes I don't even know where to start, but what you need to know is that I have seen who I can become. Not only seen, but I can touch it. This is mine. It's just not mine yet, but it is mine now. But I think I can see and reach into the future. And this, I gave this to myself to fight the Mariner. And I did it. And then I did it again.
Solemn nodding. Like it, yeah.
We did do that.
Hey, heroes, it's James, your game master, and welcome to the Midroll. Heroes, first off, huge shout out to our guests for this week's episode, Big Bees and Rashawn Nadine Scott. An extra shout out to Rashawn because Rashawn is part of the Mystery County Monster Hunters Club podcast, which is the newest addition to the One Shot Podcast Network. Mystery County Monster Hunters Club is a comedy podcast using the Monster of the Week system that is run by some of my favorite improvisers in the whole world. If you like Rashawn on the show, you are going to love Rashawn on Mystery County. It is seriously one of my favorite actual play shows out there. So head over, check them out, give them the old one-shot welcome. And while you're heading over and checking things out, you should check out my new book, The Ultimate RPG Character Backstory Guide Expanded Genres Edition. It's a book with prompts and exercises to help make the process of developing more complex and interesting character backstories for your RPG or regular fiction characters easy and fun. You can pick up a copy right now by heading to bit.ly/RPGBackstory2, when that is the numeral 2, or heading into your favorite brick and mortar bookstore. And please, please, if you pick up a copy, leave a review. As much as I hate them, leaving reviews on Amazon helps me a tremendous amount. It's one of the reasons that my publisher keeps coming back to me with more book projects, and that keeps me in this job specifically, because podcasting does not pay enough to cover all of my bills. A huge exciting announcement. Tomorrow, July 14th through July 21st, our friends over at the World Builders Charity are running Geeks Doing Good 2022. This is their annual fundraiser to keep their fundraising charity afloat. And they do it by creating exciting merchandise for properties that you love. And one of those properties is Campaign Skyjacks. This year, we have two brand new Skyjacks bandana designs, which were created once again by Justin Langille. These designs were based on Gable and Dreff, and they are absolutely gorgeous. You can pick them up alongside the designs that we already had for Travis and Jonnet. And all of the Skyjacks bandanas double as Illimat boards. So it's a great way to show off your fashion sense and play a fantastic game. Once again, that fundraiser launches tomorrow. So we'll be passing links around on social media, and you will want to head up and pick up those bandanas as quickly as possible because they are printed in limited supply. I am so, so excited. I love the bandanas that we produce. I want to produce one for every major character on the show, so I sincerely hope that you like them. Now then, before we get back to our show, let's take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. Sarah Dykeman, thank you. Grace Blue Jappas, thank you very much. Josie Perryman, thank you. Will Lynch, thank you very much. Susanna Lewis, thank you. Jay, thank you so much. Taylor Wright, thank you. Christopher Allen Cole, thank you very much. Hannah Pashkovsky, thank you. Maddie Lane, thank you very much. Christopher Caragilo, thank you. Chase Curtin, thank you. Sunny, thank you very much. Plant Bones, thank you. Ezra R., thank you so much. And Ethan Priddle, thank you. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We would not be able to make these shows without your support.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now then, with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Douglas is going to walk away real quick, go into the kitchen, and then come back out a couple minutes later with a present and just kind of looking at it and looking at Jonnet. I guess you can open this? I don't understand what's going on, son, but...
It's a humble parcel. It looks like it has been wrapped in leather. It's clean and pleasant. It smells nice. There is a heft to it. And beneath the leather, the faint tinkling of chain on metal and wood.
Jonnet takes it, feels the weight of it. And I feel like there's maybe a moment where, like, he's holding it in one hand, the Kasarigama in the other, and, like, the weight in his left hand is, like, he's feeling it and it's like kind of pushing his hand down. And at the same time, the weight of the Kasarigama in his right hand is getting lighter and lighter. And he looks down. He knows immediately what it is, looks back up at his dad. And then he like kind of falls to his knees on the ground, puts the Kasarigama in his right hand down and just very hurriedly like unwraps it and like opens it. He does the thing where like our view from the camera is like inside the box, so it's all like it's black, and then we see a small slit open and we see Jonnet's eyes like make contact with the blade, and then like he very quickly like turns his head to the side and kind of just like processes it, like, and then he reaches in, he grabs it, and like we see like a top down shot of Jonnet looking at this, holding the Kasarigama, It's the exact same, except just a little less worn. And we see the Kasarigama in the foreground, and then the future Kasarigama in, like, on the floor. And then we just sort of see the future Kasarigama just start to back to the future-esque just fade. And he sees it. He looks up at his dad and is like, "You saved my life."
With you being gone so long and me not knowing what happened to you, I hoping that you'd come back for your birthday. Wanted to give you something that I felt would protect you as it did me. At least I know I was right.
Dad, you're so right. I needed protection, and I thought that, well, I did. I found that, and I grabbed it from myself, but I guess I never thought where I got it from. And of course it's yours. This thing is heavier than it looks.
Well, I mean, as you've already demonstrated from what you said, I don't have any doubts that you'll be able to wield it and do so very impressively.
Jonnet, you know, these words weigh heavy with you, and you look down at the Kasarigama, something that you have stared at for, you know, at this point, a couple months. Anytime there were idle moments, you brought it out to look at it. And seeing this blade fresh now, it contrasts so well with what you have memorized in your mind. You've seen areas where the chain links had to be mended or replaced, seen how the blade has been sharpened and resharpened. There are engravings that you know along the blade that are not there yet. It's amazing to see this thing that becomes a familiar companion to you in its infancy. And you're also struck by another thing, and that's that you don't quite know how to use it yet.
Jonathan's like, about that. So, I mean, this thing protected me and showed up when I needed it most, but I mean, I still could use some pointers.
All right. Today, you rest. I'm sure you've had quite a journey getting here, especially from what you told me. Just a little bit that I've heard. Just, you know, rest today, because you got the turkey hunt tonight. And after everything's said and done, before you head out again, you know what? I'll teach you what I know.
Also, I want to know how you know it. I feel like you got stories.
So, Zaza,
my friend's
there we go.
Oil
I'll get
down
there right now, and he just hurriedly walks off.
Thanks.
What?
I would like if Zana and Douglas stepped out to deliver this oil to the pirates who are just so dry in the backyard,
so dry,
and in need of oil. Jonnet, you are left with Gable, Orimar, and Travis, and you gotta make an important request of them and give them their roles. Decide who will hunt with you and who will run with you.
So, I've told you all in varying ways how Gobblenacht kind of functions, and I need partners, and I think we need someone quick and light on their feet and able to twist and contort as griffin chickens come at you from every side. And I was hoping that Orimar, would you run with me in the running of the turkeys?
Yeah. I think, considering that how for the majority of this conversation, Orimar has been pretty stoic, there isn't much change in the face. It's slow. I think he's been focusing so much on trying to not cause a problem for Jonnet. He's kind of stopped focusing on emoting properly. So it takes a while for him to react to you. But you see the small smile start to kind of like blossom into a bigger, genuine one. And he's like, he just kind of like slowly nods and smiles big. He's very pleased to be asked.
And we've also got to, as you all know, hunt the turkey. And I was thinking, Gable, come on.
Yeah.
Are you in?
Yeah. I will say, I think we're going to lose to your sister. If you're okay with that and you're going into it as just a growing experience.
Do you want to be on my team? Do you want to join? Do you want to be with Zana's crew?
Looks like she's got it covered. But I'm here for you. Okay. If this is, I'm just being honest about what I think the result is.
Okay, well, if you're here for me, I need you to be here for me, Gable.
Okay, morally, I'm happy to do it. It'll be a fun nighttime hunt adventure, low key. Oh my god, the squirrel's right here in my wing.
Holy shit.
The shit out of me.
Oh my goodness, I'm terrified.
I'm so sorry, I was just... Sorry, I'm so sorry.
No, you're
this
great.
Is happening in game.
He's like, I'm here for you.
I like the idea that what Gable is seeing is just the pirates oiling themselves out of the window. Oh my gosh.
They're so hot.
They're so dry.
But I don't feel great about leaving Travis alone. Is this just a solo thing?
Well, I mean, if Travis can kind of get a, and he's like eyes on the ground and then kind of like looks up at Travis like, if Travis can get a handle on his shape-shifting, we might have a spot for him on the crew to find the biggest turkey to hunt.
What, do you want me to turn into a big turkey?
Well, no.
Actually. Ooh.
Hang on. I was going to say you become a griffin to like fly over the forest and find the turkey, but wait, hey, can you turn into a big turkey? Is that something you can
I
do
don't right know. Now? I was just trying to be kind of rude, but I think I stumbled into something that might be kind of fun.
This could be fun. Is it cheating? Maybe.
Hey, look. Oh, all right.
I'm not going to do it unless it is.
Well, look, all right. I had every intention of doing this the right and honorable way until Zana showed up with arguably a better crew. And everyone else has said that, and if you haven't said it, you thought it. You thought it. Okay.
Yeah. John, I've never had a single thought in
Zana
my head.
Zana and her crew, we're all hula hooping in the back, like Mayflower. Just camaraderie.
So beautiful.
Yes, they're really hot. Wind that waist.
Oh, this is working out my core.
I'm feeling pretty lit back.
Sexy right now or whatever. I hope you're watching us be incredibly sexy while hula hooping.
To be fair, how can they not?
I personally can't tear my eyes away from the window. So
don't look. All right. Don't look.
I'm trying not to, but...
So I need... If this is how I win, then why win? Because here's the thing. We were going to win regardless, okay? Mm-hmm. We're the crew of the Uhuru, okay? We don't miss, okay?
So far, we've won 100% of the bird contests we've entered.
You miss 100% of the bird contests you don't enter, and that's what I've always said.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, Travis... If you can be a bird, be a bird. If you can be a turkey, be that turkey.
Isn't
either
a turkey
way,
a bird?
But I meant, if so far, when I say bird, I meant the griffin, because historically you've been griffin-based transformations. Or not griffin-based, raven-based transformations. Yes. But if you can be a griffin turkey, be that griffin turkey, and we'll hunt you. But we're going to have to sell it.
You're gonna sell me?
No, I mean, we're gonna have to sell, like, we're gonna have to put on the show that we're actually hunting you and like wrangling you, All right, we might have to mess you up a little bit, okay?
Oh, please. Oh,
Travis,
please.
Travis leans in really close to Jonna and says,
oh, if we're putting on a show, I will put on a show.
Okay. And then he just dramatically, like, flips his coat in front, turns around, and walks away.
So,
where are you going?
Like, even 3 hours ago, maybe, in terms of time, where there was a conversation between Orimar and Travis in, like,
oh, no.
Soul Space. And Orimar was like,
oh, yeah.
If you ruin Jonet's special ceremony, I will kill you. But
this I am helping.
This is Jonet led. This is Jonet's idea. And you're just indulging Jonet's idea. So now Orimar is incredibly torn.
And then Jonet watches Travis, I guess, do a flare and then walk out the door. And it's like, I'm not sure if I'll regret that. But I've set it in motion, and we have to stick by it.
The dominoes are falling. Jonet, I do have a question. So,
yeah, what's up?
Lovely, your family is lovely. When you mention things like we fought the Mariner, live in your truth. If you want to tell people, you can tell people. It does make us look like bad guardians when you mention that sort of stuff that...
Oh.
Which is fine.
No.
You're an adult.
Totally fine. I didn't say that I fought him alone. Mm. You were there too.
Okay, yes.
You stood up to protect.
So, and that's fine. I want to impress your family because I think they're cool. And I want them, like, you were safe, mostly. Kind of. But in a way that allowed you to
charge headfirst into battle together.
Yes.
Yeah,
fantastic.
As a unit. Granted, I was alone when shit got really, really heated, like I was by myself.
I was.
And I guess I never really thought about it until right now, huh?
We flash back to the moment where Gable and Travis are kissing on the stairs of Nordia, and Jonet faces the Mariner alone.
We were all
and then
busy.
We cut right
we were all
back.
Doing
yeah,
stuff.
That was so low.
But Orma, the caption was there for you.
Signs to, I guess both Jonet and Gable, since they were both present for it, would your father be okay with or heavily against the fact that I gave you a sniper rifle as a gift?
Actually, he looks down at the Kasarigama. I feel like that's good. I feel like that's good.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you're good. Yeah.
Orimar, good replacement dad points increases by one.
Acheron, obviously, big Second Amendment city. You know, it's
not
the mainland.
Back,
you know,
I guess reluctantly canon. Now
they're a farming community. They're also besieged by gigantic wild turkeys, so they've got more excuse for it than many people.
Regularly,
I never met a turkey I didn't like
to shoot. So we return once again to the captain's council aboard the Uhuru in the captain's quarters, where there is a large sack full of letters that have been addressed to the pirates of the Uhuru. This one is addressed to the Uhuru crew.
Let's see here. Dear Uhuru, this letter is for Travis, but I would also like to know the rest of the crew's answers as well. Like Travis,
So then it's for everyone.
Well, but it's specifically for you, but everyone, it's an all play.
Right.
It's an all play.
Oh, sure.
It's
okay.
A Travis-oriented all play.
It's for me, but okay. Okay. Good.
I think you have to answer. Everyone else gets to answer.
I don't have to do anything.
You do. Oh, under penalty of death.
A guillotine is being rolled out in the background.
Like like Travis, I too have a condition that when a certain time frame hits, I turn into an animal. When the process was starting, did you have a choice of the animals that you could turn into? If not, are there animals that you would have preferred to have turned into? I'm also curious to hear what animals the rest of the crew would like to be able to turn into. Oh. Sincerely, Haru Turning Red Wingnut.
Okay, first of all, before I even think about answering, the name alone on that letter makes me feel like this is a thing. You know what I mean?
It's not. I think this is somebody's character. Somebody's RPG character.
Oh,
and we could,
oh,
we
real
could think
person
of a,
game character. Yes.
There we go. Thank you. Real person game, which is just someone's true identity, is the real game, the real person games you play in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
so Travis,
pass.
Pass.
No, you can't. In fact, this is the same joke that you try to tell for every Dear Uhuru, and at a certain point you just answer the letters.
Hey,
maybe
I'll tell you what, Spit, it's not a joke, and it never has been. I don't make jokes, okay? I train them.
You're gonna answer this question, or I'm gonna have to start putting the WD-40 on this guillotine, mate.
The what? Double what will you what 40?
WD-40. I've been speaking to that
guillotine.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Whale dick 40. It's a special type of
no,
oil
lover,
yeah,
no.
That lubricates.
Spit,
and
that's
it's
not
distilled
what it's called.
From,
look.
It's distilled from a.
We've all been
penises.
To the New Bedford Whaling Museum in beautiful New Bedford, Massachusetts. We all know all the parts of the whale that you can use for different things. anyway, what was the question?
It. I just wanted to come in real quick and let you know, I was trying to fix a couple of these doors on the ship because they were squeaking a lot, mm-hmm. and I kind of went through all your WD-40, so y'all gonna need some more when you get a chance.
Dad, no!
Well, now, if you don't answer the question, Travis, I'm going to have to kill you with a rusty guillotine because we've
Dad.
Run out of lubricant.
On the bright side,
I'm not asking
most of the doors are already
more.
You know, taken care of, and all of Bathroom Barry's doors are pre-lubricated. So
yeah, but Dad, the thing is, that was industrial strength WD. It was that good.
Yeah,
dick.
I know it was good stuff.
Yeah, so you didn't have to use all of it. It was
those
just
doors
one
are gonna fly open.
Not that good dick.
I'm just saying. On the bright side, you'll never hear a door squeak on this ship again. On the other side, if somebody's coming to kill you, you probably won't know till it's too late.
Okay,
you're not gonna hear a door squeak, but you'll hear it fly into the wall and shatter because it's greased so well.
That is the trade-off. I think I'd like to be a cat.
Who would
like to be a cat?
Okay.
I think
thank you for answering the question, Gable.
A larger cat, I think, not like a house cat, like a lynx, I think, because then you get the benefits of being a cat, but also kind of people will leave you alone in the way of a larger cat. That's what I just think about it sometimes.
You just want to be petted, I understand.
I doesn't anyone.
I feel like I would want to be I have thought that I would want to turn into a snake only because I haven't, like, I am afraid of snakes and I want to become the thing I'm afraid of to then, like, become stronger because of that.
That's
are
you're
you
going to turn into Snake Man.
Are you afraid of me when I'm a snake?
No. No.
That sounds like a yes, and this is very fun, and I wish I had known this sooner.
No, okay? It's just, you know, you smell with your tongue, and I don't get it. I don't get how you move, Travis.
It is unsettling.
yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll show you. Next time I'm a snake, I'll show you. We'll have a nice little snake tutorial.
Please don't.
Well, then you become Snake Man, and then you have to run Gotham, and, you know, that the thing you hate the most.
All the animals that I want to turn into are mostly marine creatures, which actually is probably kind of fucked up in this setting, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, like, mantis shrimp's pretty cool.
Yeah, we just have to keep, like, dumping water on you like a beached whale so that you stay nice and wet.
I mean, it would either be, like, a mantis shrimp can see in colors that nobody understands and punch, like, hard and fast enough to cause small explosions, or be a yellow jacket hornet and just kind of terrify everyone.
Ooh. A bug is, that's a fun, compelling thing to become.
I mean, everybody's so obsessed with becoming like a cute mammal of some kind, possibly in a skimpy outfit. And I'm like, no, be a gross bug. Better.
Without answering the question, I will say I wonder if it's like legal to do a dinosaur, because I think that'd be fun.
Legal?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just says animals that you turn into. If dinosaur is an animal. Actually, wait a minute. I'm remembering my history.
It's an alligator. Animal.
Dinosaurs are appliances. Well, that doesn't count.
We did establish that we live in a sort of Flintstonian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We really did.
Oh, that reminds me, Flintstone. Hey, John, did you take your vitamins today?
Dang it. I'll be back.
Zana, did you?
Zana leaves.
There's like these hockey puck sized chewable vitamins that you
gotta take.
I know I brought her over here. Johnny, where's your sister?
What?
Where's your sister?
I don't know.
See if she took her vitamins too.
I'm right here, John.
Zaza, you take your vitamins?
Of course I took my vitamins, but I don't need to be told to do things because I'm not a child.
You still going to be my child. I don't care how old you get.
Well, if I had to be any kind of animal, I believe that I would be a hammerhead shark.
Ooh.
Because I would still be hot if my forehead was that big and my eyes were on that side of my head. And I would just stalk the ocean, following current to current, until I came upon the shores of my enemies and I would chomp them down.
So that's kind of like a flex thing to you want to be a hammerhead shark, not just to eat your enemies, but to show the universe that you would still be kind of good looking as a hammerhead shark. That's the impression that I got about what you just said.
Exactly. Yes.
Speaking of still being good looking, I would be the green M&M, but I would still be sexy.
So you'd have eyebrows?
Not an animal.
That's my real answer. The sexy green M&M.
Not an animal. Decidedly a candy.
Then why does she got legs for days?
There's probably a decent amount of fan art of Travis Matago in like high heels. Possibly has a green M&M.
Yeah, can't wait for the Travis Matago as the green M&M.
But the old green M&M.
Technically, aren't all of Travis's transformations white? So he would just be a white M&M.
White M&M.
Oh, like an M&M. As sexy as the green M&M.
An M&M that you suck on just enough to get the color off, but not enough to get to the chocolate.
Hello? I'm sure that phrase is not going to be taken long.
Suck it on, Travis. Just suck it on, Travis. That's
so you just sucking
doing.
Off color? Is that what you're saying, my dude?
Sucking well, off color. You're down by the tasty free.
Are we talking about animals to turn into? Because I'll tell you one thing, John, you don't want to. Just don't talk about snakes around him, because I got a story. Back when he was little, here, I'll tell you this before you get back, because he's taking his medicine.
Oh, that's right. I'm halfway through
it. He came in. Oh, yeah, don't worry. We're all right.
It's
don't worry.
It's so grainy.
Yeah, well, it's good for you.
Okay.
All right. He was running around with the little neighborhood boy. I forgot his name. Got a big
Dennis?
Old head, big forehead. Weird. I don't know. You're not here. So, you know, he was out there running with him, and the boy picked up a snake and was like, ooh, look, is this? Let me tell you, I don't know exactly how far they were, but I could hear that boy screaming through the night. I was in my room trying to fix something, and I just heard a blood curdling like he was dying. Come out, he is standing on top of the fence, like on top of one of those like poles in the fence, just sitting there screaming, kicking at the little boy with the snake in his hand. I think he peed, but he won't admit it to me. He said that the snake spit on him, but I think he peed on himself. But you know, just don't tell him I told you that. That's just a story from when he was little, though.
Okay, that's so fun. I have a fun prank idea. I'm going to turn into a snake real quick. When Jonna gets back, pretend that I'm not me. Pretend that I, Travis, went to the bathroom or something, and this snake is a real snake.
Okay.
Hey, Dad. All right. I've made it through 2/3 of this giant pill. Can I stop,
please?
Look
at please? This new snake.
New snake. John gets out his knife and starts stabbing at the snake.
A scream so loud it was muted by Zoom.
The history of role-playing games is weird and wild, and we here at System Mastery are determined to look through it all.
Every heartbreaker that drove a man to bankruptcy to see his vision of D&D with really specific armor maintenance rules come to fruition.
Every game where you get increasingly certain as you read it that this is all just one person's weird fetish.
Every system that painstakingly recreates how medieval life was really like, and then also you can cast Fireball.
The System Mastery podcast wallows in the filth of RPG history. Come,
join us in the muck
at System Mastery.